Welcome to episode 4 of the Dean's Podcast, the podcast about issues shaping graduate studies in Canada. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Carolyn Waters, and I'm the Dean of Graduate Studies at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'm also the president of the Canadian Association of Graduate Studies, CAGS, for the year 2009. Every month, you can listen in as I talk to other deans, faculty, postdocs, and graduate students about where graduate studies is going in Canada and internationally. In this episode, I talk to John Apsimon, Interim Executive Director of the Ontario Council of Graduate Studies. Join us as we discuss quality assurance in graduate programs at Ontario universities, as well as upcoming changes to the process at both the undergraduate and graduate levels. And finally, John and I discuss whether a national quality assurance framework for graduate programs in Canada is feasible or even desirable. Okay. Hello, welcome. It's Carolyn Waters, and I'm at an NSERC meeting in Ottawa, and I have with me John Apsimon from Ontario Council of Graduate Studies, and John is the Interim Executive Director, and today we're going to talk about the issue of quality control in graduate programs. So Ontario has a unique provincial office, the Ontario Council of Graduate Studies, until recently was responsible for both the evaluation of new programs and the review of ongoing graduate programs in Ontario. This has changed recently, so I'm hoping that John can tell us a little bit about why there might be a change and what the new role of the office is.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Well, we are what should I say, in the process of changing. The Council of Ontario Universities, which is the advocacy group of universities in Ontario, the 19 provincially assisted universities, has for nearly 40 years now run the graduate quality assurance enterprise, realizing it's probably best if you can do it yourself and have a program that's accepted and recognized by the government rather than getting intervention. That program has worked extremely well, and then just 13 years ago, the council also took on the process for undergraduate program evaluation. There are two different processes, I'll come to that, but because of the length of the graduate appraisal process, a couple of years ago, the executive heads, who are basically our managers, had decided that the program needed to be looked at. It hadn't been looked at for some 5 or 6 years, and it was becoming, in some people's minds, a little bit cumbersome and a little bit interventionist. So they gave a contract to Richard Van Loon, who's the former president of COU, or chair of COU, and the former president of Carleton University. He made his report with a couple of other, in fact, he had graduate dean, Dr. Crago, mm-hmm. whom you know, mm-hmm. and Greg Moran, a former graduate dean, former provost of Western, on his group. His recommendation was that the present process, which is heavily, every single program is examined by a consultant or consultants once every 7 years. So this is a massive undertaking. That is, every single graduate program in the province is appraised. And it's expensive, it's quite time consuming, and some people question if it's gone a bit too far. People say there's lots of rigor in there, but is there some mortis creeping in? Having said that, Dr. Van Loon's recommendation was that for ongoing programs, that's programs that exist, there should be a cyclical review, but for both undergraduate and graduate, the model that is presently used for undergraduate, that is an audit process, should be introduced.
Can you explain a little bit more what you mean about audit?
I do. I'm just going to say it. So the way this works is that a university, and let me just spend a moment on the undergraduate program. Universities are audited for their undergraduate program quality assurance processes on a cyclical 7-year cycle. So not every university comes up every year. So when a university is identified for audit, there are a team of auditors identified by our office, our operation, which reports through the vice president's academic. It's called the Undergraduate Program Review Advisory Council. And those auditors, there's a slate of auditors who are former academics, former graduate deans, retired academics, senior academics, people with interests and lots of experience in programmatic matters at the university. The vice president's academic who administered this program, when the program was established, set up a set of guidelines for universities to follow when they do their own internal program review. And then universities are required and agreed, but that they would set up their own processes to conform to the system-wide guidelines for quality assurance. Now, I say conform because, as you know, every university has a different set of what I call tribal customs. And so there are different committee structures, different reporting lines, and so on and so forth. And so if an institution sets up its own guidelines for its own quality assurance, and they conform with the general guidelines of the overall system, then that's conformity and that's okay. But there is another aspect too, and that is you may have as an institution your guidelines for audit, but you may not follow them. Again, you know, many faculties, different types of programs, and accreditation and so on and so forth. So when we do an audit, we test two sets of conformities. One, conformity of the institution's process with the published guidelines, the system-wide guidelines, and two, the conformity of the university itself with its own guidelines. And we do that by sending in our auditors who spend 2 or 3 days at the institution choosing some of the programs at random. They can't do them all at random because you have to have information. So we inform the university 2 or 3 months beforehand that we'd like to look at our new programs, ongoing programs that have been recently reviewed by the university and in different disciplinary bases. So typically 3 or 4 should survive. So,
who are the auditors? Are they from your office?
The auditors are appointed through the vice president's academic. We administer them, but in fact they are the present slate of auditors are one former graduate dean, one former dean of social sciences, two former vice presidents academic, one former dean who has now gone back to the trenches of academe, but is very, very senior. Another former dean of sciences and a dean of engineering. So these people who are now out of the system but are able to understand them.
Still, you must have hundreds of these. How many does your team do in a year?
Well, we do 3 per year. I say it's a 7-year cycle. 19 universities, a 7-year cycle. So we go into one university, but 2 or 3 universities a year. So that's the way it's spread out.
Okay, otherwise, I wouldn't be volunteering for that.
No. And an auditor typically does 2 visits a year. Oh. We have a slate of 6, and we send in 3. So it's not onerous. Well, some like it. Some they wouldn't volunteer if they didn't like it. Whereas let's go back to the graduate program. That is based on self-study, deposition of a brief with the Ontario Council of Graduate Studies, assignment of consultants who send the report, seeking response from the university, and then making a decision. And that's every single program, both new and... So what Dr. Van Loon suggested is that we take all ongoing programs and do the cyclical type of audit process, and take all new programs, both graduate and undergraduate, and do a consultant-based, external self-study consultant-based process. So that is the proposed methodology, which is destined to come into play on September 1st, 2010.
Oh, so you're still planning this process?
That's right. We have a transition team that's meeting frequently and regularly. The membership of the team, it represents the stakeholders, so there's two graduate deans. There are two members of the academic vice presidents. There are two members with the academic interests of the university at heart, and these are a group in Ontario called Academic Colleagues. These are voted by their senates or governing bodies to accompany the president to council meetings. So they represent they're the academic champions.
So what do you see as the big potential problems in this new system?
The problem is combining the rigor that you see in a consultant-based process with what's sometimes seen as lack of teeth for an audit-based process, because it's all very well doing these processes. It's what happens afterwards. What's the follow-up? And an audit process is, you know, you can make suggestions, but you don't really have any, you don't have much power to do things. So the question there is, how are we going to get teeth into it? Mm-hmm. And there's a few discussions on that. Like, for instance, the audit results should be published on the web. At what level do they get published on the web? And, you know, there's another added piece here, and that is the Government of Ontario funds undergraduate and graduate programs. They want to be assured that these are quality programs. Up to now, both our processes have been accepted by the government as, in fact, the license, the recommendation of that they accept. So we have to have something that they will see as a change in process, but equally strong and acceptable to them.
So this has not been approved by the government yet?
No. What we are doing is, first of all, the process will have to be approved by the executive heads. It's being spearheaded by the academic vice presidents, so they should know what the presidents are thinking. Then the now governments and other quality assurance agencies in Ontario are briefed regularly. They know what's going on. They're particularly interested, and they're just waiting for the result. The idea is we'll probably have the guidelines for audit and review in a fairly advanced draft version by late March, early April this year. That gives time for consultation within institutions, gives institutions time to set up their own internal quality assurance groups, because they haven't done it for graduate programs before, and then come back and we can fine-tune it. So on September 1, 2010, it's full speed ahead.
I can't even imagine what it would take to do this at a national level.
Well, you know, that's one of the criticisms that's made, is Canada has no national quality assurance framework, whereas other agencies do. You know, there are, in fact, national quality assurance bodies, Australia, the UK, New Zealand, US, and so on and so forth. So Canada, because of its charming and unique characteristics, of course, it's provincial. Now, you have the Maritime Higher Education Authority that does some quality assurance.
Yeah, but only on new programs, not on reviews.
Yeah. And then there's the Campus Alberta process, Quebec, under the CREPUC, the Conference of Rectors, has their own, and so does BC. So there are bodies across the country that look at it. The Ontario one is the only one that is, in fact, self-administered by the universities, which means that you have to have a council or a process that is relatively arm's length, mm-hmm. which is what my council is, and there will be a new quality assurance council which will oversee all of this stuff, which will report finally to the vice president's academic.
So I have one last question.
Anytime.
Because it's a problem for us at Dalhousie. How do you evaluate distance-only programs? Do you have any thoughts on that, or do you evaluate them just as though they were inside?
Distance-only programs, the quality has to be the same as an inside program. Now, how do you do that? That's another thing.
That's the question.
But you have to look at learning expectations and learning outcomes. These are two phrases now that we're using more and more with our evaluation processes. So not only a new program, but what you expect and what's the result. So learning outcomes in distance delivery is probably one of the most, most critical elements. What happens to the students or the employers think, and of course you have to have a couple of cohorts in it.
And how do you define a cohort?
Yeah, that's true. You just have to probably just take three or four admissions over a particular period. The other aspect of that is that many distance delivery programs and courses emanate from existing programs that are given in a traditional way. And so in that respect, it's exactly the same quality assurance requirements are sought. It's very difficult. I'm still learning it, but I think that's...
Well, I think there's some hope when we have some offices actually at arm's length really thinking about this. And it may be an agenda that CAGS needs to step up to at a national level. Do we want to have quality assurance across the country if we're going to be in the sending students and making MOUs with Bologna process countries?
Well, exactly. There is a need, I think, the quality assurance agencies, which are government-led, do get together, but their agenda is not quite the same as yours as a dean or any other graduate dean, and I think there's maybe probably a need for some form of coordination on that, and I agree the idea of what's the future of the graduate enterprise with Bologna on the horizon. Of course, the big problem there are 3-year degrees versus our traditional 3-4 years. So now there are still challenges, but quality, quality, quality.
Oh, that's a great, great end. I have to really thank John, because we have spent all day in a windowless room evaluating grant proposals. So to actually come and talk to me after that was pretty good. So thanks, John.
My pleasure. And
that's all from us. That's it for this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with me about something you heard on this podcast or about an issue that you'd like to see covered, please email me at carolyn.waters@dal.ca. You can also leave a comment at the bottom of the page where this podcast is posted at universityaffairs.ca. Until next time, I'm Carolyn Waters, and thanks for listening.